Hello.
Good morning.
It is not the morning.
It's morning somewhere.
You know what? It is morning somewhere. That's true. Welcome back, everybody, to Double Indemnity, the podcast. It's a podcast where we talk about new movie releases and we discuss them, our feelings on them, our opinions on them, which are not very insightful.
Our factual opinions.
Oh, highly factual, highly opinionated opinions.
Nobody has opinioned more than us.
You know what? I feel like that's a provable statement.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, statistically based. Yeah. Or just based. Don't people say that now? Based. Isn't that a thing?
That sounds
people
familiar.
Like when they hear something and then instead of being like, that is based by factual data, they just go based. But when you say it like that, you sound like cool.
I guess it's a cool, yeah. Shorter way to say it. I don't like it. It sounds cringy.
Have you seen those videos of like the little kids like from Gen Alpha like saying all the slang of the next generation and it's like, what are you saying?
No.
Like they sound crazy.
Oh boy.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but one of the things was like slaps on God or something. And I was like, What does that mean? And I don't think I said it right. I think it was something else. But it means basically like, oh my God, that's so amazing. It slaps.
Well, something slaps. Yeah.
And on God, you know, it's a higher level. It's like maximum.
It's even more.
Awesomeness. Yeah, one of my hairs is on you. I can tell it's bothering you. I got it.
It's a phantom hair. Terrible.
I saw it first on your head and then you began to fidget. and then it was on your hand.
How dare
and
you let
hold
me...
your hand in the air like it's going to fall off your body. For people in the podcast that are listening don't normally watch, we're actually not doing the visual aspect of the podcast because it's wintertime here in South Dakota, which means it's dark outside, which means that if we did the visual aspect of the podcast, we'd have a giant light in our living room and then I wouldn't sleep all night.
Yeah,
so
we'd be seeing stars for the rest of the evening.
Oh yeah, seeing stars, baby, and not in the good way. Isn't that like, you know what? I'm not even going to ask. So, little intros for the podcast. We're going to spoil everything in the movie. Also, follow us on Letterboxd_podcast, where I always forget to post the podcast before we talk about it. So, first segment, what are we watching right now? I know for sure we watched The Holiday because we went to the State Theater in Sioux Falls, which we love.
That's true.
And we saw it with my sister when my sister was here.
Movie.
Love her. 10 out of 10.
We watched the last three Hunger Games movies.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I was a diehard Hunger Games fan when I was a kid. Jonathan, I think you read the books too, right?
Yeah, who wasn't? Or diehard?
I think, yeah. 2012,
was into
Hunger
it at
Games
some point
was like the peak of life. And honestly, watching the new movie... I didn't jive with it as much as I did with the other ones, and I think it's because I didn't read the book. I bet if I read the book, I would love it more.
Probably.
But still loved. Like, the storyline, the writing of I have no idea what her name is. Collins?
Katniss?
No, the author. Suzanne Collins?
Suzanne Collins.
Suzanne Collins?
I was like, what?
No. Katniss. her writing is just, like, phenomenal. So the movie was wonderful, but... watching the old movies was so extremely nostalgic. Like it festers this feeling of joy inside me that I only get from the Hunger Games that I only felt when I was 12 years old. And I just love it so much.
That's cute.
It's weird. Like that at that point in life, like nostalgia wasn't really a thing. And now we've gotten to a point where like nostalgia is like
nostalgia
a thing.
Can be a thing for us. That is weird.
Yeah. We're not old, but we are, not children
older.
Anymore. We're legally adults, pay our bills. We take care of a small dog.
It's a small child.
Small child dog. As in dog.
Child as in dog. She is a child.
She's munching away. She's munching. On the couch right now.
Here's
right
the
next
audio.
To us. Delicious.
You're welcome for
Thank
that.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, anytime.
Yeah, I actually totally forgot that we watched all the Hunger Games movies, and it was amazing. And thank you to my sister for spawning this little...
That's true.
Binge that we did. It was like so fun. It's so funny because she came
them,
and we were
too.
Supposed to be celebrating Christmas and we're like, all we want to do is watch Hunger Games.
It's just the brings the spirit of Christmas out.
It really
know what I mean?
Does.
Just killing people and yeah.
Uh-huh. And then last night we watched May December, which I think we should do a podcast on because
yeah?
It was wicked. We should do the next one on May December. How does that feel?
For sure. It was a movie.
It was a movie. I will not disclose any other opinions because we're going to do a podcast on it.
That's true. And then I watched Hell or High Water with a friend. 5-star movie. Love that movie.
For a second, I was like, yeah. What? When did that happen? I forgot about that. Yes, you did.
You weren't there. Oh, and we watched the Santa Claus, too.
Santa Claus. Yeah, because we were trying to get in the Christmas spirit, but it just wasn't jiving. Did we finish it? I don't think we finished it.
I don't know, but I still watched it on my letterbox.
Oh, my God.
Popo Gigi.
Popo Gigi. Okay.
That's what we're watching.
Anything else? That was actually a lot of stuff.
That's a lot. Usually we don't have that much.
We've been falling off with the podcast, but I'm not going to lie. Life has been stressful.
It's been a lot.
Yeah.
Are we watching any shows? We started Fargo. We should get back into that.
We should get back into it. We'll watch it tonight.
Yeah. We'll watch it.
Thank you for remembering that. Yeah. We started the newest season of Fargo, which we watched the first one literally on DVDs because we couldn't find anywhere to watch it. And my parents, for some reason, loved it so much that we had DVDs of it.
It's really good.
Like back at the beginning of our relationship, like nostalgia, yeah. Man. Like your old couches. I miss those.
You miss those?
I miss them. Okay. Well, here's the thing. Your new couch is like so amazing that like I love it.
Yeah.
Not trying to offend your new couch, but the old couches that your family had are just so like, again, nostalgic. It just reminds me of like the beginning of our relationship. There were these curved couches, so like there was no way to lay on it straight
with two people.
Yeah, especially with two people. And like we were at the beginning of our relationship, so we just wanted to snuggle all the time. We don't do that anymore because Jonathan overheats. But now we snuggle with our dog. But I don't know. It's nostalgic, but yeah, the new Fargo episode was interesting. A lot of notes from the original movie, but then they put a little bit of a twist on it.
True. And the Golden Globe nominations came out today, too.
Really? I honestly don't really understand why people care about the Golden Globes. Like, I get the Oscars, yeah, but what is it? What are the Golden Globes? Like, who hosts them?
I don't know. Hollywood people?
Okay.
Foreign Press Association? I have no idea. Yeah, I think it's the Foreign Press Association, the Hollywood one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, you know, Ricky Gervais?
Yeah,
that's
love
his
him.
Like legendary intro speech was at the Golden Globes in 2015.
I thought he was doing the Oscars. Was it the Golden Globes?
It was the Golden Globes.
Okay, yeah. If he was still doing the Golden Globes, I would watch it every year.
Yeah, everybody would.
There's something about him that is just like, oh, I love him so much. He's so funny. I feel like he is uncancelable because he has said the most offensive things. And there's just something about him that it's like, you know, it's just a joke. Like, you just know. Like, yeah. He's not, like, actually thinks those things, you know? Whereas a lot of people can't pull off saying jokes that, like, whoa. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But he just can.
He can. He's great at it.
He's gifted. Do you want to rate the movie?
The movie
or did you
want to
talk about the Golden Globes?
Well, I kind of forgot. So, I forgot which ones I was going to mention. So
okay. Well, then it mustn't have been very impactful on you.
We'll talk about them later. We'll also do an Oscars thing.
Yeah, well, the Oscars are coming up, so.
Yeah. Napoleon, directed by Ridley Scott, who has done so many freaking movies. I was looking through his list, and I did not want to write all them down.
All over the board, too. Like, just throw a movie out there from all the different genres he's done. Like, he did Alien.
He did
Thelma and Louise.
Blade Runner. He's done The Martian. He did.
Okay, you're just throwing out sci-fi movies you're supposed to
do. The Last Duel. He did Kingdom of Heaven. The Counselor.
Okay. That's
Prometheus.
Sufficient. Good job.
Alien Covenant.
10 out of 10. We may move
I
on.
Could keep going. I mean, it's like
you know. Did you know he did Napoleon?
Oh wait, you did this too?
Yeah.
Oh my god. The plot: an epic that details the checkered rise and fall of French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte and his relentless journey to power through the prism of his addictive, volatile relationship with his wife, Josephine.
Josephine. It's a song.
It's a song.
That's what I'm doing.
Stars Joaquin Phoenix as Napoleon Bonaparte and Vanessa Kirby as Josephine.
I loved her. Honestly, unpopular opinions, she was better than Joaquin Phoenix.
Agreed.
Really?
Yeah.
Agreed. I don't mean unpopular opinions. I meant like about to say a controversial thing because you just like assume Joaquin Phoenix is a legend. And I knew Vanessa Kirby was a fantastic actress, but this was like her masterpiece. I swear to God, she made the movie. Her acting was phenomenal. And I have lots of things I want to say about it in my notes. We don't have to get into it right now, but it was like wowzers.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much do you think the budget was?
Oh, gosh. $150 million.
It was probably around that. A couple of different ones were reported. IMDb said 20 million. That's clearly an error on their mark. I got 130 million, but that doesn't include marketing, so 150 is probably around there.
I love how whenever I'm right on the like nail on the head, you're like, wow, you're amazing. And then when I'm off a little, you're like, well, marketing, Brown, you're so sweet. You're so supportive of me.
What can I say? I'm just a man. Box office, it's made 170 million worldwide, so it's doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy fun fact, this movie was shot in 61 days.
What?
That's remarkably fast for a film of this scale. He credits the speed of the shoot down to being prepared and not having ridiculous numbers of retakes.
So they were just great actors.
That's really impressive. Yeah.
That's so cool. Oh my God. And all the different locations and everything?
Yeah, they filmed in France, obviously. Malta and somewhere else. I forgot where it
was. Wow, that was so cool. Did they actually film at Versailles?
Oh, probably, yeah.
You can film at Versailles?
Maybe. I think you can.
That's
crazy.
It
looked like it. Yeah.
It really looked like it, but it could have been just like CGI or something.
True.
I don't know. That was awesome. I've been there.
That's cool.
It was really cold when I was there.
It was cold?
Yep.
Not as cold as the French were in Russia.
Probably.
What is it with like leaders thinking they can invade Russia in winter?
Is that a thing?
Napoleon did it, failed. Adolf Hitler did it, failed again.
There's just something so badass about Russian people, honestly. Like, just like maybe they've just like hardened toughness from the brutal winters, but like it's just like so badass that they're like, they're just like chilling in their homes and people try to invade them, and like you just can't.
They just run and burn everything so that they starve.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I give this movie 3.5.
A 3.5?
3.5 stars, yeah.
Wow, that's really low than what I expected from you.
What did you expect? Did you expect...
I expected you to give it a 4.5.
4.5, really?
Yeah, I gave it 4 stars just because of Vanessa.
Yeah.
Like, I would have given it a 3-star if it wasn't for her, but she gave it a whole full star up. She was so amazing.
Pretty impressive.
Why did you only give it a 3.5? So you're not quite sure is what I'm getting.
I don't know.
It's just, that's like, what it was felt
great.
Right.
I just thought the script.
As you were sliding your fingers over the stars on Letterboxd.
I haven't logged
it
yet. I just decided that.
You didn't log it yet? Are you trying to think of like a cute little line? He always writes like little reviews on his Letterboxd.
Oh yeah. I'll probably say something like, you know what? Boats are cool. That was such a weird, I don't know. The script just didn't really connect. Like the battle scenes, there's nobody who can direct a battle scene better than Ridley Scott.
Oh,
like
my gosh.
A medieval battle scene better than him.
That wasn't medieval, was it? It was like in the late 1700s. Like,
you
I mean, America
I
was on the rise in the late 1700s, and you're telling me that's
not
medieval?
Not medieval, but historical, I guess. He does it the best.
Period.
Yeah.
Period battles.
It is
fun seeing war movies that are like back when they had cannons and like muskets and stuff, when it's like they're just like literally on tarp tents and like,
yeah,
that just blows my mind. And it's hard because, and the way that they fought back then, like watching it is like, are you kidding me? Like, you just march at each other. Like the first row, I don't know all the military terminology, but like, what do you call it when you send out, like, the first row of men? What is that?
Like, they're your infantry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
all of those men, do they not know that they're going to die? Because they're literally the first wave, like, of men walking in a straight line at people with guns. Like, do they really think they're going to survive? Like, who thought that was a good idea for how to attack people?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, it's, like, more about killing as many people as possible than it is, like, actually beating your enemy. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Yeah,
it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Just, like, line up and then take turns shooting each other.
Yeah, you just walk at them. Like, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah. So thank you to Francis Marion, the
guerrilla warfare,
the swamp rabbit
from the South Carolina. Mm. I remember learning about that, but I don't remember anything that I learned except for that he like brought guerrilla warfare to the Civil War or whatever, or the Revolutionary War. Sorry,
Revolutionary.
Okay.
But yeah, crazy.
So yeah, do you want to get into our notes?
I thought it was enjoyable. I think it dragged in a couple places.
I agree. I think it was slow. I think that he kind of like took snapshots of Napoleon's life. So like the very big important battle, then a little bit of Josephine, and then a very important battle, and then a smidge of Josephine. And it was kind of like, it got to be a little like repetitive for me. And like, it also just felt like, do we really need to show this? Or do you just feel like this was like kind of an important thing? And like, then he showed the most random things, like him investigating a mummy in Egypt. And it was like, just to show that he was a weird guy or something.
Yeah. There were a lot of comedic moments and some worked and some didn't.
Some of them didn't hit. And I think honestly, like the comedy was more just that like Napoleon was a really weird guy. Like he was a weird dude, and I saw a lot of notes of Joaquin's Beau is Afraid character in his Napoleon character, because it was very much a disconnected, troubled man, and they both like really kind of seemed so similar to me despite being like completely different in nature. Yeah. Of like Beau being like a insecure man, and he kind of like implodes, whereas Napoleon like exploded and he wanted the whole world. He wanted to conquer everything.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
You know what I mean? But honestly, I feel like they are very similar men, very similar characters.
Yeah.
I know Beau is Afraid is like a trip, like literally, but literally. You know what I mean? I thought that was interesting. He did a good job, I think, though, portraying the complexity of being a man trying to compensate for being small, like by taking over the world, basically.
Yeah.
And I think he did a very wonderful job at it.
Yeah, it's pretty historically inaccurate, I think. And like,
but
a lot of people like slandered Ridley Scott for being so historically inaccurate. And Ridley Scott was
just
like,
but what's funny about
like,
that is like,
well, fuck you. That's what he said.
Yeah, literally, there's so many movies about historical characters that are not real and people don't care. Like, fucking the show The Great, right? Nobody cares that it's definitely not historically accurate. Honestly, people were only upset because they know Napoleon had such an outrageous life that they probably just wanted to know everything that happened to Napoleon in his life, like,
and
for real, so they don't have to go read a book about
and
it. Or like
disappointed by what was actually shown.
Yeah, and honestly, in my opinion, all of the things that I was like, was this real? That I Googled were all actually real.
Yeah.
So, like, the things that I didn't even care about were probably the fake ones, because the things that were real, that is what really blew my mind, you know? And I think that they kept enough of those huge, impactful, real moments that, like, who cares if they embellished throughout the rest of the story? I mean, that's all of everything history, you know what I mean?
Yeah, who cares? Ridley was like, oh, well, were you there to the historians?
Yeah.
No? Then shut the fuck up about
There's,
it.
Yeah, that's so true. There's literally no way to prove. Like, one of the things that I Googled, or two of them actually, that I wanted to know if they were real, they literally said, legend says this happened, or nobody knows what exactly happened. So you're telling me that he's going against the historians when the historians are literally admitting to not knowing what happened. So, like, who cares? It's more portraying his character and the impact on history than it is anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
And honestly, I wouldn't have realized it was a comedy if you hadn't have told me that it was a comedy before I saw it.
I don't think it is a comedy, by say. I think it's a drama with little comedic moments,
I guess. Like, I literally went into it at first like thinking like it wasn't a comedy, and then halfway through I was like, wait, this is a comedy. And so I like tried to restructure the way that I was watching it, and then I found more of it amusing when I was like doing that, because then the ridiculous stuff he was doing, I wasn't like, this is ridiculous. I was like, oh, it's a joke.
Yeah.
Like,
you think you're so cool because you have boats.
I know. You know what's also really funny was when his brother was like, I will kill my brother.
Oh, yeah.
If he does a bad job. And then he like makes a side glance at him like, I didn't know what to say. That was a funny one. I think that was my favorite joke. Because that one was really good. That was a laugh out loud one. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Let's see. Some other things that I wanted to talk about. Okay, let's talk about the battle scenes. What did you think? I already know a little bit your opinion because you said Ridley Scott has amazing battle scenes.
They're great. Ridley Scott said the battle scenes utilized 11 different cameras all filming at the same time.
Oh, wait. So did they just like be like, go? And like people were just swimming around, like pretending to fight each other, screaming?
Yeah, just filming the whole time. Yeah.
Cool.
Oh.
Beans almost dropped the computer on the ground. Oh, she wants to go under the blanket. Can you lift it up so she can go under? Yeah, honestly, that's probably the most like cost-effective and fast way to film a battle because then you don't have to redo everything over and over again.
All right, everybody, let's go back to square one.
I know, literally, like it'd just be like, well, we had 11 cameras, so one of them hopefully got a good shot. And it's really just a compilation of everything that was happening. It's not like it was really showing specific stuff.
Love the battle scenes. I thought they were great. Reminded me a lot of Kingdom of Heaven.
Yeah, and I think honestly the best battle in my opinion
and
the least boring one was the let's see what it's called.
What was it, the burn?
I wrote it down.
Is that on the frozen lake?
It was like the one on the lake. What was the name of that one?
I think it was
I wrote down the name. Oh, Austerlitz.
Oh, Austerlitz.
Yeah. So that one was really interesting. So they showed Napoleon like trying. I'm not going to talk through the whole plot in this one. I'm just going to kind of jump around on stuff. They showed Napoleon basically trying to start an alliance with Austria, and they said no. And then instantly after that, they show Napoleon going to battle against Austria in a wicked battle scene. I mean, like, you are on the edge of your seat. Like, I cannot believe somebody could plan and execute something so well. So he, like, set an... And apparently the whole thing is real. Like, it's completely true, which blew my mind when I was watching. I was like, either this is the best battle maneuver of all time or this was made up for the movie. And I think it's one of his most, like, iconic battles from, you know, Google searches and such. And he sets up a fake camp, a French camp, with like a million French flags, which I think was also a little bit of a joke because it was like, come find us, there's a French flag on every single tent. It was hilarious. And the Austrians just come marching up to the front, and they have French people down there, which is such a ploy. They're like pretending like they're men there when you know all of those men are just going to die.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that so sad? Imagine being the men, like...
1,000 men.
That's just 1,000 men. Like, that is another subject I want to touch on, is how he just, like, killed people for sport. But...
Yeah.
And then, all of a sudden, Napoleon had troops flanking them, and then they pushed them back, and they retreated onto a pond, where he then bombarded them with cannons, which destroyed the ice under them, and they all sank and died.
Yeah,
like that is wicked genius. And the way that he shot the scenes under the ice of the men swimming, and what made it even better was like all of the blood in the water, which gave you this contrast of like the sheer cold and the ice and the men's uniforms, and all of a sudden there's just bright red like flowing through the water. It was like, I mean, you could not look away from the screen. It was phenomenal.
Yeah. I knew when I was watching the trailer that that scene would be memorable.
Yeah. It was very memorable. And honestly, all of the other battles I found to be quite boring.
I knew he had lost at the Battle of Waterloo. I just didn't know how that battle
took. So...
Like the structure of that battle, and he lost because The Prussians came. Yeah.
I honestly thought that battle was so boring. Like, I was like, why? why did he do this? Like, it was, so he had just been exiled for his failures in Russia when he tried to invade Russia. And so he comes back from exile, and it seems like all he really wants to do is get back in the war game, and he'll do it any way that he can. And rather than like planning the strategic battle, it seems like he just tried to hit them from the front. It was very unusual. Yeah, it was
unlike him. Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed like he was acting irrationally and impatiently, and he had kind of lost his touch for it. And he was just like so antsy to get back in the game that he didn't actually like do a good job getting back in the game. But yeah, I found that battle to be extremely boring. Like, I did not like watching that one.
I like watching any battle, pretty much.
Yeah,
but that's just me, because I'm also a man.
But I guess the battle scenes brings us to that other conversation that I wanted to talk about, is that they really do a thorough job showing you that the men dying in Napoleon's armies are really just a means to an end for him, rather than him viewing it as the French people. And they really confuse you with it, because they show you at one point him like handing out bread to his men, but that it's almost like he's just like feeding his war dogs, you know. He's supporting his like
I need you to have energy to kill for me.
It was very weird. And like, he feels no guilt or frustration for all of the deaths that were the aftermath of his invasion in Russia, because over 500,000 people died in his invasion to Russia because of the winter. And he only feels sadness for his own failure against the Tsar of Russia, Alexander. He does not feel any frustration or guilt with the death of all the people. And what's also interesting is, after that, the French people ask him basically to step down from his role as the Emperor of France and be exiled. And he's just mad because he's being asked to give up the throne. He doesn't even care the reason why. He's like,
why?
No, just let me go battle again and I'll fix it. Like, why do you need to get, this is just one hiccup, who cares? Like,
he
doesn't realize
prideful.
The consequences of his actions. Yeah, very prideful. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a quote. He was like, I am the first to admit when I make a mistake. I simply never do.
That was a good one. Yeah, it was that war was really a hobby for him, and it wasn't actually like a hardship.
Destiny has brought me this lamb chop.
Yeah, and it's so funny because at one point he's like, I've never declared war on anybody.
I know, yeah.
And it's like, they are literally called the Napoleonic Wars because you went to war so much. It was crazy.
Yeah, pretty crazy how much he had accomplished during his time, though. Like,
yeah, like another thing was, they showed how he crowned himself the Emperor of France rather than the Pope. Like, he took the crown from the Pope. And I Googled that, and that's real.
Really?
It's a legend, but the legend says that he took the crown and put it on himself.
Oh, that's cool, actually.
To stick it to the man, basically. Like, he pretty much was saying that he has supreme power over everything.
Yeah.
And he has no respect for the church division within
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I know. I Googled that one because I was like, there's no way that was real. And it was. And it was also like such a comedic moment. Like, and it goes to show, like, this guy was like savage. He really had no understanding of his actions. He did not care how it impacted him at all. I want to talk a little bit about him and Josephine's relationship too, because I thought there was a very interesting undertone to it, because she is just... after the beginning of the film and the end of the Reign of Terror and the death of Marie Antoinette, Josephine is a widow. She was in prison during the Reign of Terror, and he sees her and he is enamored with her and he wants to marry her. And you don't exactly know what it is about that draws him to her initially, other than like, she's gorgeous, but, she doesn't really like him at first, and her lady's maid is basically just like, well, as long as he's not unappealing, then whatever, who cares? So she goes along and gets married with him, and she is longingly looking at other men at her wedding. She is flirting with other men the night of her wedding, and she even cheats on him with a lover. And Napoleon loves her regardless. He almost like desires her to love him back.
Even more.
And I think it was really, I don't know if this was actually how their relationship was, but the movie, it's super cool how they almost show you that she is just something he wants to conquer. Like, she does not want him, but he wants to conquer that because it is almost like the challenge of it more than it is anything else, you know?
Yeah.
And like he calls her his. Like she is his, France is his. They are his two women, his two lovers, you know, of his life.
Yeah, yeah. And you are nothing without me, and then vice versa.
Yeah, they both say it to each other.
Interesting dynamic.
Yeah, and I loved the way that she depicted her character. Now let's talk about her. Sorry, I'm just like all over the board with all the things I wanted to talk about. Her character was absolutely fabulous. It was much deeper and much more perplexing and thought-provoking than Napoleon. And I think it was fully because her emotions never matched her facial expressions and her actions, mm-hmm. which made her a very intriguing character because you never understood how she was feeling, like, until you saw the tears stream down her face or until randomly, like, for the first time that you hear her say she loves him. And it was, like, in a letter, very beyond after they'd been divorced, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, she was had a very, like, complex way of, like, acting and viewing their relationship, like... She would laugh at scenes when she was in an emotional conversation with Napoleon saying he was going to leave her or something. And she should have been emotional. But then all of a sudden she starts to cry and you're like, wait, you are actually upset about it. It took so long to learn if she actually loved him or not. And she was always slouching in her chair. Did you notice that? She was always mm-hmm. slouching. She was always very sloppy when she was the Empress of France. Like, she was very similar to Napoleon in that she did not care.
She didn't care what other people thought.
Yeah, it was wild. And
maybe that was something that Napoleon liked about her.
Yeah, maybe. And she never ceased to surprise you. And I was just extremely confused the whole time. And I just want to say 10 out of 10 performance. And I expect a Oscar nomination for her.
Yeah.
Would it be supporting actress?
Yes, it would. Yeah.
She deserves the Oscar, in my opinion, for this role. What, do you don't think so?
No, I think so, too. I think she deserves a nomination. I don't think she'll get it, though.
Why?
Just because this film doesn't have...
I guess we had Oppenheimer and Barbie and...
It doesn't have the momentum that the other movies do at this point.
But nor did, like...
But yeah,
All Quiet.
Yeah, no.
And they had many wins.
You're not wrong. That's just my opinion.
I think it has the same level of momentum as All Quiet.
That's true. And that, like, sweeped literally everything.
All Quiet was phenomenal. Now, this was not as good as All Quiet, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
She deserves a nomination. I don't think he will get a nomination for this.
I don't
think
so either. And I don't think he deserves one.
I don't think so either. I think it was just a fun role for him to play.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently. Yeah, for Joker.
Oh, whoa. See, he deserved it for Joker.
Yeah, it was back in a year ago. It was reported to the media that his performance was so powerful that Ridley Scott had to rewrite the entire script just to adjust for him.
That was a joke, wasn't it? There's no way that was true.
No, I don't think so.
He was so powerful?
Or, like, not maybe not powerful, but the things he did with his character really liked so much that he just adjusted the script to match him.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Also, it's Sir Ridley Scott. He's been knighted. That's so cool.
Who knighted him?
I don't know. Somebody did. Somebody in Britain.
Do people actually call him Sir Ridley Scott?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Is he British?
Yeah. He is.
Cool.
And his next movie is Gladiator 2, which is cool.
Gladiator's like an iconic movie. I've never seen it.
It's worth a watch.
We'll watch it before the second one comes out, so I'm fresh.
You still got at least a year.
Cool. Especially with the writer's strike. We're going to have like
a
very dry period next year when all of the movies that would have come out during the writer's strike were delayed, and that's going to be rough.
Thankfully, it's over.
Did they actually come to like a good conclusion on it and everything? Yeah. Like, is everybody
the
happy?
The actor's strike, came to a conclusion finally. They had reached like an interim agreement, and now it's like a final one.
Okay, wow. Well, I'm glad everybody's happy. Hopefully they're happy. I have no idea the outcome, so I cannot speak to what it was or an opinion on it. Okay, well, next week, do you want to do May, December?
May, December. Mayo, el diciembre.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I just took a screenshot on my phone. How did I do that? That's weird.
Did you click the buttons?
I just tapped the back of it.
Oh, yeah. There's a way to do a screenshot that way. So now he's just tapping.
So many accidental screenshots of just my lock screen.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, those are the worst. Okay. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.